In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we'll talk about us being wise builders, and St. Paul described himself in his letter to the Corinthians being a wise builder, and I will speak about it from the family perspective. We are all supposed to be like wise builders, because when we start a family, we are building the kingdom of God in this household. The marriage is not something about just two people who wants to be together. It's beyond this. As Christians, we understand marriage as extension of the kingdom of God, and this house becomes now part of his kingdom. So today we'll talk about 10 points in regard to being wise builders. What are we building? The types of builders as identified by the Bible. The use of the building, what is the building is going to be used for, the cost to build, the time to build, stages of building, the foundation, the materials used in building and testing the building, and biblical examples of builders. What are we building? When we make a decision that we are going to marry and we start a family, what exactly are we building? First of all, this kind of house should help us to build ourselves. If I cannot build myself, I cannot build anybody else. St. Jude says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. The question that I should ask myself, and I should always examining myself, if I'm doing a good job with my marriage or not, am I getting better? Am I progressing, advancing, becoming a better person? Am I making the people living with me better people? My wife is happier. She is closer to God after we married. Are those children that God granted me are getting closer to God? This is how we should assess ourselves. If we do not build ourselves, we cannot build anyone or anything else. We are building ourselves in terms of our character and our attitude. And this is something that's subject to change at all times. How is my attitude? And I should ask myself, am I getting better? Am I advancing? Or I am getting actually maybe worse and backward? After we get done with this part, with meaning like in mind that I know that my marriage should help me, that I build myself, then I think about the people around me, building others, those entrusted to my care. Am I building them? Am I making them better people? And those who listen to us. Beside building ourselves, building others, we should also be building experience. The family should be the place where experience of God for the first time happens to our kids, meaning the first image that comes to the mind of the child about whom God is comes from his dad or her dad. Looking up to this person, then I can imagine whom God is. By being the model, the godly person that we all want to live by this example of Christ, we give a good experience, and we are building good experience between our children and God. Also, while we are mindful of this process of building, we are all times building relationships. Sometimes we experience difficulties, and sometimes we find ourselves that we have gaps. A wise builder should always be working to build bridges. What happened? Why we have a gap now? How can we cross this? Just waiting in your place and thinking that the other person should cross the gap, build this kind of bridge, and this is her responsibility of his responsibility. By thinking this way, then I am making my job as a builder, wise builder, void, because I'm waiting someone else to cross this gap. So what are we building when we decide to start a family? Supposedly, we are building ourselves, building others, building relationships, building experience with God. The second point is, what are the types of builders? We are busy all the times. All of us, since the time we marry, we find ourselves consumed as builders. But the Lord here identifies for us in his Sermon on the Mountain two kinds of builders, the wise builder and the foolish one. The wise builder, what differentiates him? What distinguishes this man, making him a wise builder? The Lord said that those who hears and apply are those people whom he can say about them that they are wise builders. We all listen to sermons. We all learn many things. Maybe we read many books about parenting, about dealing with others. But this does not make us wise builders just by mere listening. It is how much we apply what we learned, how much we put this in action. This is what differentiates the wise builder from the foolish one. The Lord said also the wise builder, he builds on the rock. We'll speak about this when it comes to the foundation, what is the rock and how we build on it. The wise builder doesn't mind the hard work. Thinking that I should try all the time to find the shortcut will not get me to build something that can stand the wind. The idea about that, what is the minimal I can do just to get by, just to survive as a father or as a mother, this is not going to get me at the end to find the building that glorifies God. Not only he doesn't mind the hard work, but he asks to learn. The idea about asking is not just by coming to someone and saying, what do you think? But I ask in order for me to change and to adapt. You will all know that many people like seek counsel, but very few of them, they apply what they hear. Sometimes asking is not to apply, but rather to justify. I want to make myself feel like, okay, I did my part, and maybe trying to find some kind of a blame that I put on the shoulder of another person. At the end of the day, God forbid, when the house comes to this kind of testing and it fails, it is not here who did what, because everyone is going to pay the price for a house that is destroyed. The wise builder is not only mindful of what is he building, but how he is building. Everyone can start a family. This is easy. But how this family survives and grows and become a successful and functioning family, this is what distinguishes a wise builder from the foolish one. What about the foolish builder? The foolish builder builds on the sand, something that's very shaky, and also, as the Lord describes him, he hears often, but at the end, he does not apply. What he learns is something that maybe he will advise people to do, but at the time when it comes to himself or herself, minimal is done. And this is very frustrating for people living together, seeing that my husband is giving counsel and advising, or my wife is very good in advising her friends, but when it comes to her applying what she's saying, then very minimal is done. Both of them, when you look at them at the beginning, they were all doing some kind of effort. But the effort itself does not mean that whatever is done is acceptable by God. Because there will be a time when the building is going to be tested. At that time, we will know if what we built was good enough or not. Don't deceive yourself thinking that because I start my day at 4 a.m. and I go sleep at midnight and I sleep like 4-5 hours a day and I'm hardly can catch up with all my duties, that I am doing something that's wise. Effort does not mean this effort is productive, is according to God's will and plan. It's not about what, it's about how you handle your building, how you are advancing in this process. The third point is about the use of the building. In our minds, when we start something, I know how this will look like, how I'm going to use it. Why I'm saying this? Because sometimes we do not really know what this building is going to be used for. Like, for example, ourselves. We ourselves are the temple of Christ. What is the meaning of this? That this building, in order for it to be functioning according to God's will, it means that it should be used as exactly the church is used. The church is a place that worship glorifies God, and a place that people can find refuge in it, a place where people can learn from. So if we are intended by God to be His temple, then according to this, we are supposedly to do the same. We are to glorify God, to worship Him. People find refuge in us. People can learn when they encounter us. Being the building of God and for Him, how am I using this building? So at the beginning, how am I using my building? By the way, if you want to apply a test on a person that maybe your son or daughter is going to marry, ask yourself if he is using his building in the function that God intended to be, then this person eventually will use the building of the household, the family, to glorify God in the same way. If I'm abusing the building, it is unlikely that I will be using the building of the family to do otherwise. The building of marriage, the family, the household, how is it used? Am I marrying to find a person who is going to serve my needs, just to satisfy me? And at the beginning, in my mind, I will find a servant or I find a person who takes care of me. But this is not how God intended marriage to be. Yes, it happens along the process that we benefit one another, we help and aid one another. But this is not how God wants the family to function. Just people live by anticipating that this person is going to meet my expectations. What about the building of the children that God gave to us? Every one of those kids, we should help them to be the temple of Christ as well. Are we doing this? Are we giving them the example by which they can imitate and they grow and becomes the building that God intended to be or not? Are we equipping them to function as children of God, the building that glorifies God or not? All of these questions should be asked every day. How am I using the building that I am building? Then talking about the costs. Everything that has value has cost. We all know this when it comes to buying and selling and maybe having a degree. We all know that this is going to cost us. In the same way, to build something that's meaningful, it also is going to cost us. The Lord instructs us that we have to calculate the cost. When He says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" When it comes to marriage, usually the cost is calculated in terms of financial needs. Am I able financially to meet the requirements, like to sustain a household? Am I physically able to do this? And these are maybe the only two things that we calculate the cost before we start the marriage. But this should change. What exactly should be in our minds in order for us to calculate the cost? The cost to build is three things. Number one, do I have the knowledge? And by the way, no one marries at the beginning with the whole knowledge in his mind. No one knows everything. But the process of learning should not come to an end once we married. Khalas, I'm done, I'm married. Why should now I bother learning something new? This is one of the essential costs. What exactly it takes for this marriage to be successful? What do I need to learn every day? Because this is a cost that is mandatory for us to be able to build something that's meaningful. The second thing that I should calculate is God in the midst of this place? Why this is important to make calculation? You remember when the Lord blessed the five loaves and the two fish? He asked the disciples first to give the people to eat. When the disciples tried to make calculation, they calculated this way. We have 5,000 people plus their wives and children, and we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they concluded that it's not going to work. We need extra money, and we cannot afford it. We cannot meet the need for those people. But how the Lord wants them to make the calculation? The calculation should be like this. We have this kind of need, and we have these resources, and I am in your midst. Then what will happen? is going to be enough, and you will have even extra to spare. So this question should be always like asked. Is God is in the middle of this family? Is God living with us, and he has like a place to rest in my home? Am I always checking myself and my household, making sure that this place is comfortable enough for Christ to dwell in daily? Because this is going to make the difference between a house that is going to survive or the house that's going to fail. This question is important to calculate the cost. Is God is in the midst of the family or not? Or did he depart because of my behavior, choices, or an attitude? The third cost we should calculate is the seriousness and willingness to sacrifice. If you remember something from like this topic, I want you to remember one thing. What kills marriage is selfishness. And nothing may be more serious than this one. And this can be traced into any family problems. Selfishness. I'm living in this marriage for something that's to me. And what makes marriage successful is how much I'm able to sacrifice and compromise in order for me to reach an agreement. So now it is a question that we should ask. Am I serious to make sacrifices truly? Or this is something that I feel like, okay, I did my part. How far the sacrifice should go? It cannot be that I made this and you do this. Everyone, a husband or a wife, should be willing to sacrifice to like the end of it. Maybe to the come to the end of, to the end of the story. I remember one time I was speaking with a husband, and he said that if I continue in this marriage, I will definitely come, to a heart attack soon. And then he said, would you agree with this, Ebona? Would you be happy to hear that, okay, I had a heart attack and I died? I told him, of course, this is going to be sad, but I would be more comfortable to hear that you died in your household rather than you quitted the family and people around you are paying the price of this. This should be the mindset. I am in it and I'm going to stick to this until the end of my life. This is how it should be perceived. This is the family, how God wants us to perceive its seriousness, something that's going to start will end with our ends and here on earth. So this is the cost. If you have these three elements, you have the right knowledge, you have God in your midst, you are serious enough about doing whatever it takes, then you have the cost to build a successful building. If one of these is missing, then we have a problem. The next point is the time to build. Nothing is built overnight. If I assume that now because we learned something is going to be applied tomorrow and fruits will be reaped in a week, then I will be definitely frustrated and disappointed. When it comes to building, this takes time. Building yourself, building your family, building your children, this is a very lengthy process. Rushing the building will lead us to early despair or incomplete and weak buildings. What do I mean by this? Sometimes we feel frustrated with our children because they are not applying what we taught them last week. Seriously? Then ask yourself, how many times you promised yourself that you will do what you learned and knew it's right, and you didn't do it? And then why you are frustrated at your son or daughter while he is in the process of learning? The same way also the sin applied on our marriages. Maybe yes, maybe I know this is right, but I'm not doing it yet. It takes time. I know I'm going to get there one day, but this is a lengthy process. There is no successful day traders in building. No one builds anything over a night, 24 hours, and then we conclude that it's not working. What matters most is what you do day by day over a long haul. What you do every day with your children is building a block. The building will look like something meaningful in years when you find your son or daughter are making the choices that you desire for them to choose. At that time, you knew that these building blocks were done right. When you find your marriage after many struggles, then coming to some kind of better understanding of each other, things are getting better. This can take years, but I should have in mind this, okay, I will wait patiently. I will do what I need to do. I will build every day until I get like the building that I and God desire as well. See what a person is doing every day, day after day, and you will know who that person is and what kind of building he will be able to accomplish. What do I mean by this? If you say that I want to build my children to be godly kids, then what you should be doing, every day there is a block called like daily prayer, daily reading, okay, struggling every week to attend the liturgy, okay, applying what we know is right, correcting mistakes. These are blocks. And if you look at a person doing this on a daily basis, you know that there is something going to happen after maybe 20 years. But if you think that it's just like coming every now and then and bombarding your son or daughter with a long sermon, and then you leave him just with no guidance, no example, nothing, and you're assuming that you are building by just giving sermon at your home, you are not getting anywhere. What you do every day is the building blocks. This takes time. And again, you cannot just leave your son or daughter for weeks and months. You never stood with him to pray, and then you assume that he's going to learn a prayer just by hearing a sermon from you or getting to Sunday school. Something you need to do with him or her on a daily basis. Look how God prepared Moses to be the man that now he is going to be the perfect person to lead his people. How many years it took God for in order for Moses to be built? 80 years to be the person that God wants him to accomplish the task. 80 years, 40 of them in Pharaoh's house and 40 of them in the wilderness. In the same way also, we should be handling our own buildings, ourselves, our children, and our marriages. Now we move to the stages of building. In any building, there are stages. We can see this and we know what happens whenever someone is intended to build something, a house or any kind of business. The first stage in building is breaking down. Something needs to be maybe removed or hauled away. A time to break down and a time to build up. In marriage, for example, one of the things that need to be broken down before we start building the family is your old ties with your family. What do I mean by this? Both of them, the husband and wife, are instructed that you should leave forget your parents, and then you join your new family. I'm not saying abandoning anyone, but it cannot be that I enter into marriage while I'm still linked to my older family with a bond that's unbreakable. Then what will happen? Then my husband is married to me and his in-laws. And also the other way around it goes, and both of these kind of relationships, they never really succeed. No one is going to handle this in the right way. Yes, we are responsible to take care of others, but not on the expense of the family. The husband is said about him, you should leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. Here there is some kind of breaking down. And also the wife is instructed to forget her family's and parents, and come to where her husband is. So there is a time always to break down. Also, not only breaking old relationships, but we break old habits. We come to marriage as a package. We learn it many things that are good, and we also learn it some things which are negative. When we come to marriage, we have to work our best to cut and break this kind of old habits because they are dangerous to the building. If I come with the idea that it is how it is, this is whom I am, like somebody come and say, you know, she married me وأنا عصبي, فخلاص, that's it. I will live like an عصبي person, يعني, and I'm short-tempered. This is one of the things that need to be broken in order for this new building to survive. No one should come with, it is how it is. You have to live with the old building. No, it shouldn't. And this is something we should strive to accomplish. So the first stage in building something new is to break whatever that's old and that's not helpful. The second stage is preparation. In Proverbs, we hear, prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. What do we need to prepare? I need all the times to be prepared with, okay, who is going to be my counselor? What kind of support system that I need for my family? Where is the church that I'm going to grow my children in? What am I going to like bring to this family in order for them to be closer to God? I'm not speaking about materialistic things, but I'm speaking about spiritual and psychological. This kind of preparation will always help me that whenever I need help, I will look around and find the needed help. The third stage in building is digging a foundation. What is this phase is about? This is the hidden work that no one can see. And it can last for years and nothing you maybe can see after over the ground. A lot of work under the ground. Nothing shows for a while. This work is the work of every one of you in his prayer room. No one sees you while you are there. But while you are there, locking the door behind you, and stand and pray, or you go on your knees and ask for God's help and guidance and grace, you are doing a great favor to your family. You are digging a foundation for them. When you are doing this, you are coming closer to your wife, even if she is not praying with you. When you are doing this, you are helping your children to grow in a spiritual atmosphere, and this house becomes a dwelling place for God's Almighty. So today, this part, no one can see, but this is a crucial part, digging a foundation for this family to grow and prosper. And then comes the process of erecting walls. You remember Nehemiah, when he went back to Jerusalem, what he was intending to do? Build walls. What are these walls? The walls are what is going to separate you from the danger of the world outside. What kind of filters you are going to have around your family and household? What exactly you are doing in order to make sure that your house is a safe place? These walls can be everything you can imagine in order for this household to be safe. Now we are attacked by everything around us. Our families now are the subject of all kinds of attack and offenses from the world around us. The media, the TV, the phones, everything. How are we going to secure this family? What kind of morals and principles are going to like erect around our families? These walls, by the way, should be strong enough to protect the people living in. Sometimes these walls are having many, many like holes and because we allow like whatever is not acceptable, and they're saying that it's normal, natural. How are we going to avoid this? Sometimes families think that it's okay for children to watch something that's maybe not the best, and saying that it's better for them to watch it at home before they go outside and see it. This is a deception from the enemy. The children always should know that house is a place that is sacred. Why we are not playing such kinds of movies at the church? Simply because the church is a sacred place, and the walls are very thick and strong. What makes your house different? They can go outside and be tempted, but they always have to remember that my house was a place that's sacred and protected. None of these were allowed. None of this kind of immorality that's accepted in my home. The children should grow and get out of your house knowing that none of these were allowed in my household, and we were enjoying peace and God's presence. The walls is a crucial part in securing the building. And then comes the part of the wiring. What is the wiring? The wiring is something you do it in preparation for a usage later on. Let me give you an example. While this building was up, what happens is when the walls were not there, the sheetrocks were not there, the whole building were exposed and a lot of wires were there. What are these wires are for? Later on, maybe they put something like, okay, we have an outlet here, or you're going to use it for the internet, for the electricity. If the wiring was not there, what will happen? If we remember now that we need to use a plug for a computer, what will happen is we have to break the walls. What do I mean by wiring? Your children also are like this kind of buildings that have a time when they are open for wires. Later on, you are going to use these wirings for outlets. How? When you are making kind of friendship with your children when they are young, later on when they are in 15, 16, this kind of wires, you will need them. And by then, when will you ask that, okay, can I be part of your friends? He will welcome you. But a boy or a girl that was in a way tried his best when he was young to get your attention, and you did not really have the time or the effort or the diligence that you build the friendship, he's not wired. Then when he is a grown-up, when you ask him, okay, can I know what's happening in your day? He will just deny you access. Why? Simply there is no outlet because you never wired him. When we talk about when coming to the church, kids should be aware of the hymns. They know what is the church is doing. The idea about the church is the service is too long and all of this kind of stuff. The church is as it is for many years, will always be, and the church as is helped many people to grow and become a godly children. When their ears are familiar with the music in the church and with the incense in it, with the icons, with the candles, later on they are wired to stay here. But when you try to bring a child after he is 12 or 13 and say him, now it's time for you to attend the 3 or 4 hour service, it's impossible. Why? He's not wired. In order for you to get him to do what you want him to do, you have to break the wall. And the wall now is his mind. And now you have to try your very best and frustration and all what we experience when you try to teach a child for the first time in his teens how to pray, how to come to the church, how to attend the hymn class, how to confess, how to fast. These are all wires that need to be done in the building. Later on, you will know how this is going to be helpful. I really feel delighted when I see a child who is 7 or 8 years coming and parents are asking how he can fast or she fast. On the other hand, when you find parents saying that he's too young, he's too weak, لا يا عيل عنده 16 سنة أقول لك he's too young and too weak and he'll never learn anything. That's it. It's not wired. Then the great fast will be a struggle until the end of his life. As simple as that. So this is stages in building that you should be aware of. Breaking down, preparation, wall erection, and the wiring. Then coming to the foundation. St. Paul says about this foundation that having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In everything we do, we should have some kind of a biblical reference. What am I doing here is something that I can say the Bible instructs about it this way? Or are we applying the principle of the world? Sometimes people think that it is to be contemporary, we have to adapt and adopt whatever is said around us. This is the new way of children upbringing. There is no, by the way, something new. And all of these new ways coming because whatever the world was teaching failed. And these new ways will fail also. What makes people the right people is when we raise them on the foundation of that's taught in the Bible. What is the right faith? And what is the right conduct? Everything we do, I should ask myself, is this something that's pleasing to God? Whatever we say, we do. Is it something that God agrees with it? I want to ask the people when they allow their children to go in parties in order to maybe to dance and to enjoy themselves. Can you have something that's biblical to justify this? When you raise him or her this way, what kind of foundation are you building this child on? When you tell him you're just to ignore whatever taught at the church and we will do it as we think is right, what are we doing? We are undermining the foundation. We are breaking the child from the foundation that he's built on. Then later on, he will just do it as it pleases, as I think it is right, because this is how I was taught. The foundation was not Christ, was not the Bible. It was how we understand what's to be a contemporary or being matching the culture. Then comes the materials. St. Paul says about this material that some people build with gold, others with silver, and others with stone or with wood, many things. The materials, what are the materials? The materials of the building are the values that you teach your children. Meaning, when your son or daughter come and saying, I had a conflict with a child in the church or in that school, what value you teach him? You can definitely say, okay, let us handle it with love, but meanwhile we make some kind of limits. But when you teach a child that if somebody hits you, you hit him back, what value is this? This is not Christian value. Not only the value, but also the example we give to our children. He will grow to imitate his parents, most likely. And I know that sometimes children do something different, but most of the time they will grow to imitate. So if I want him to live like gold, I should act in the same way. If I want to see his conduct and see this is something that's pleasing to God, something that's very precious, I at least should be the example before him. What is the love and compassion shared among the family members? This makes the material. If there is sincere and genuine love, sacrifice, then you are building something that's very precious, very expensive, because these are all very rare materials now. You find a family that they care about each other, they love one another, they respect one another, they speak a language of love, they have many things in common. All of these makes this house built by gold. On the other hand, we are just like living with one another. We're just eating and drinking and having the same shelter. Then this house is built maybe by straw, and as we will come now to the point of testing, this house is going to be exposed. What is testing the building? Every building will be tested by wind and rain, as the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mountain. He said that the wind came and the house was tested. By the way, the wind is an essential part of the life that we live. All of our houses are going to be tested by wind or by rain or by storm, sometimes even by fire. What are these? Conflicts from within, problems from outside, challenges that we meet every day. If there is something common about all of our families, will be this point, that we will all be tested and our houses are going to be challenged. The difference between the building being shaken and being destroyed. What do I mean by this? Every wind makes some kind of like a shock to the house. You might feel like we are out of place. Something is going that's not right. We have a problem now between me and my wife. This is very normal. This is natural. Nothing wrong with this. Maybe your faith will be tested, and for a couple of days you feel like I cannot pray. This is also very normal. But what is going to happen afterwards? After the shock stage is over, this is what will tell you about the quality of the house you have. Don't feel like frustrated or upset because we have a conflict. There is no family who is not like facing difficulties. None, truly none. We see one another from outside and we see people laughing and we assume that everyone is living a good life except us. But this is not true. Every family has its own challenges. But what makes this family to stand the challenge is what foundation they built their house on. What did I do over the last 5, 10, 15 years of my marriage? Every day you make a deposit. This deposit will decide at the end if this house is going to survive or not. What is the deposit? How much faith you deposit every day in the bank of faith? Every time you prayed, every time you read the Bible together, every time you offered love and understanding, every time you forgave, all of these are deposits. The more you make of these, the more the house is going to be stable once tested, and the less, of course, then the more difficult will be the consequences. The last point we speak about today is the biblical examples of builders. When we look at the families in the Bibles, we find people who were wise builders and others who were not as wise. The house of Elkanah and Hannah, the parents of Samuel. We read about them in 1 Samuel chapter 1. This family, you find among themselves many good things that we can look at. For example, they were godly people. They went every year to worship at the house of God consistently. This is the kind of a builder who is doing something every day that at the end is going to add up into something that's like meaningful. Not only worshiping together and being consistent in this, the kind of mutual understanding of one another. Elkanah knew that Hannah is struggling because she didn't have a children at the beginning. What did he do? He tried to compensate for this, being for her the child that she did not give birth to. He was always considerate of her feelings, trying all the time to make her feel like, even if I'm missing children, but my husband is enough for me. On the other hand, Hannah, being the wise builder whom she was, then she showed a lot of patience with her husband, other wife, Peninnah. She was a very decent person and a godly woman who knew how to pray and how to get God engaged in her problems. This is an example of wise builders, husband and wife. They were able later on to produce to us Samuel, the last judge in Israel. The house of Abraham and Sarah, the mutual love and respect to each other. Sarah speaking about her husband, saying, "My master." Abraham, following even Sarah, sometimes like a direction, even if something he didn't like getting Hagar and her son Ishmael outside. The relationship between them showed that how much love and care in this family and being the good examples and good builders. On the other hand, look at the house of Lot and his family. Lot, at the beginning, he looked like he's a successful person, living in a land that's very fertile. He has everything. He's living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then later on, what happened? Because of his choice to live in the ungodly place, what happened? He lost everything. He built a house, but this house, when it was tested, it failed, and he lost everything. He lost his position, his wife, and fortunately, his children, his daughters learned the ungodly behavior of the people around her, and we know the rest of the story. Look at the house of Ananias and Sapphira. Both of them were in agreement. It looks like something that's good, that the husband and wife, they agree. But on what kind of agreement? They agreed, both of them, to test the Spirit of God, to lie to the apostle Peter, and then we know at the end what happened. It's not every agreement is something that's praised or commended by God. So today we spoke about us being builders. Remember this, there is something to be done every day in order for us to end up into what God expected. For you, you are building yourself. For your children, you are building them to be the godly children whom God desires. For your household, you are building and extending the kingdom of God in your house, being the smaller church that's going to add to the mother church that we all live in. May the Lord grant us all to be wise builders at the end of our time. After we are tested in many ways, we come to become a building that stands because it's built on the rock of Christ, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.